This is a CBC podcast. Have you heard? Listening to CBC Radio online is now better than ever. Check out our new live streams from across the country at cbc.ca/listen.
Jeff Bursey has toiled for almost two decades in the offices of Hansard, the association that transcribes debate in our House of Assembly or Parliament in Ottawa. What Hansard eventually prints is the official record for what is said and done on our behalf by our elected members. Does what happens in the House ever put your teeth on edge? Have you ever wondered what, aside from voting for someone else, you could do about it? Well, Jeff Bursey responded by writing a book, verbatim, a novel. I spoke with Jeff this week. Verbatim, a novel, has an extremely intriguing genesis. Tell me how the book came to be.
I worked at the Newfoundland and Labrador Hansard from 1990 to 2000. And somewhere around 1993, I got really angry at what was being done to the language in the legislature. At that time, there were such great orators as Glenn Tobin and Fabian Manning and Graham Flight. I would go home at the end of a day thinking, this has to be captured in fiction. I didn't know how to do it. I had one of those in the middle of the night moments in 1993 when I just realized the structure. I wanted to capture what members in a fictional legislature, in a fictional province, would do and not get into the psychology of any member. I just wanted to show what they said and how they conducted the business on our behalf. I took the Hansard document, which is a publication that records the words of the members, and does it in a very particular way. Online it may look a little different, but in print it's in dual column usually. So I thought, I'll use that, and I won't have to go into why a member schemes to be a minister and why a minister wants to plot to be premier and what a backbencher's feeble hopes are to ever be anything if they're in opposition. I thought, I'll stay away from all that and present what members say, because they are our representatives, and how they conduct themselves is very particular. They go by certain rules which are in legislatures all across Canada throughout the entire Commonwealth. So I thought, rather than make this a Newfoundland legislature with its parties and its history, I'll make up my own parties, and I won't have to go into the history of how the Liberals stood on a certain issue in 1982 and if I've deviated from that, because I thought reading that kind of stuff would just make me, you know, very tired. And it might not be very interesting to
a reader.
And
you don't want to lose your anger. You want to keep that anger topped
up. Well, the
up.
Anger, you see, I would go – having had the aha moment and knowing already what I wanted to say and now having a way to say it, first off, I realized form is content. I didn't have those three words until fairly recently, but form is content. Content is form. That really interests me. And as I said, I wanted to get away from characterization. So I said, I'll use the Hansard debate style. But I also need a more human element, and that is the letter writing between the bureaucrats. That's called an epistolary novel, which is a really old history for that, going back to the Greeks and Romans. Nothing very new in that. But the marriage of the two is something that I haven't seen in fiction in English. And the only other thing that's in the book is lists of members so that a reader can tell who my cast is and what party they belong to. So once I had all that together, then when I went off to work and get enraged by a debate between, say, Landslide Murphy, as he was called, Tom Murphy, and Glenn Tobin on some issue that had to do with transportation, I would come home with like a printout of some words that had been said during the day by them or by somebody else. Enraged. And then I would sit down the next morning, because we didn't go to work until the afternoon, and I'd have like a fresh bottle of ink, if you will, in which to dip my pen. And I would just write from anger. There was no emotion recollected in tranquility, as words were said. I just, you know, let it all out, right? Because it seemed to me really fresh. And of course, it was fresh. But why mull it over? I wanted the actual interest and concern I have with how we govern ourselves, how you let yourself be governed, how I let myself be governed by members who we elect, to emerge in a particular way. And that meant showing the parliamentary procedures, how a bill is introduced, how it's debated, what people say about it, what they don't say about it but say about everything else, the inner office politics that goes on between the bureaucrats who write these letters to each other as they jockey for position, mirroring the members inside the House with the parties and the party structure and the adversarial system that we have. So there, that created the form, and that's how I got a lot of the content, by thinking about things like that and taking some examples from here and the legislature that I worked in, and also looking at Hansards from different parts of the country to get an idea or a phrase or a concern or a viewpoint that I might not think of.
Your bile and anger is not interesting to me. My bile and anger is not interesting to you. Yet your rage is interesting to me. How did you – I don't want to say subvert the ugly bile and the ugly anger and inject into the work something that made it palatable to people to read as a novel, as a work of fiction, as a work of art? How did that come about? How did you achieve that?
It took the use of humor. The book is a satirical book. So anybody reading it expecting a dull tome on politics is going to be awfully disappointed. Conversely,
are there people out there who are interested in dull tomes?
I'm sure there are. I think they have PhD or MA after their name or something. There is a humor there. People perhaps will remember when Brian Tobin was in the Federal House. Baker.
George Baker.
He was asked about Winston Baker's financial policies. You know, in Newfoundland, sir, you know, your brother is da-da-da-da-da, and you are saying exactly the contrary. And I think he got up and said, I am not my brother's speaker. And that's a very quick wit. And we hear that here on the streets, and we hear it in the legislature in certain places. Maybe not all legislatures have that at the same time, but that's sufficiently evident in some places that there's a sense of humor. So I sort of increase that. Maybe I turn the notch up on that a bit so that there's more humor. And there's certainly more concentration on getting certain points across and then leaving aside debate, as legislatures do, when the topic is either run out or the day ends and they need to go into another bit of business. That humor, plus needing to cut off, if you will, plot lines, pushed me back. I have still had my bile, as you say, but it meant that I could be a little more distanced from the material and think not regionally, but nationally. I didn't want this book to be, say, about something that was of a limited area. I finished it in 1995, and it's taken a while to get it published. It's still relevant today, and I talk about health issues like hospitals. I talk about the environment and environmental cleanup. I talk about mining and forestry. And these are all things that if you pick up the paper or turn in, you know, your radio news today, you're going to hear something about these things. And these things are almost timeless. Legislatures themselves have been around for a while, so their locale, the setting, is timeless in a way too. And their rules are archaic to many people, and why wouldn't they be? Mm-hmm. And arcane in some respects, like beating the black rod against the door, you know, and not allowing somebody in. These are all very puzzling. If you look at it as a formal structure, it helps move your anger away and you go, I need to incorporate this.
What then is the book about? What does your story tell?
The story tells a couple of things at the same time. One is it shows people in action, in our name, trying to pass bills, getting policy through, or having objections, sometimes good, sometimes bad, sometimes neutral, raised against whatever the policy is. So people who read the book who've never been to the legislature, and they may only see part of it on TV. If you see part of it on TV, you don't really get the full picture. A lot of people believe that question period is the most interesting. I frankly don't. That is certainly the sexiest. But if you want to see members actually working to solve things or not to solve things, going to the legislature when they're in committee debating departmental estimates, and I know already the eyes are glazing over out there in some people's minds. But if you go at those times, you actually see members passing millions and millions of dollars for this or that, either with debate or without debate. And sometimes $50, $75 million can go by in the blink of an eye. Now, we've all seen, and you can go to any province in any territory and federally, you could pick up any newspaper today or within the last month or next week, and you will see some scandal connected to what is happening in a legislature or with members or something. That is prevalent, and maybe we notice it more today than we did. Do I see hope? there are different characters in the book. I try not to side with any of them because I want to present neither a stark picture of these people are evil and these people are virtuous. Most of us fall somewhere in between. So why shouldn't members also be the same? Some may come across as more crass or vulgar or refined or sensitive. It really is something that the reader will decide. You have your own reading tastes. I have mine. We may read this book differently, and I may think, well, that person is pretty noble, or I can identify with their concerns, and you may choose somebody else. And I did that quite deliberately because, again, I didn't want to be, as the members are in my book and as they are in legislatures everywhere, partisan. I wanted the reader to have the freedom to choose and not be pushed by a narrative voice into siding with somebody. And all you can really judge are, you know, what they say and sometimes what they do.
Did you become less angry as you wrote the book?
It was a great catharsis. A fever passed. I took to the waters and by doing the book. Of course, after the book was finished, that was in January 1995, there was a fatigue of writing the book. And I had 5 more years of listening to the politicians in the Newfoundland and Labrador legislature. So, you know, I built up other stuff. But the book was written. And I didn't need to say anything more about that again.
Did you want to make your readers angry as you were angry?
I don't think that was a purpose in my mind. People who are very happy with an MLA or an MHA or their MP, if they're really happy with the job they've done, my book isn't going to be of interest to them. Mm-hmm. So for those people, maybe it's not meant. But most people really aren't happy with how politicians do their job. I think they'll bring their own anger to it.
Did you become more sympathetic to politicians as you wrote the book and tried to imagine your characters as being less black and white?
Because I kept myself back from both my anger and from what I needed my figures to go do and say, I didn't develop any more sympathy, but I certainly refined my sense of what it is that they have to do and what it is they don't do. People I've heard have been in the gallery of this or that legislature, and they come down and they talk to the person who's sometimes a member, and I've heard this remark more than once, I couldn't believe what I saw. They're like kindergarten children. So it's not something that is solely my feeling. I think many people will recognize the behavior if they've ever been in the legislature, and if not, it may be eye-opening for them. Most of all, I hope that they laugh out loud. I mean, there are parts which I did try to make funny, and I hope that they succeed. So maybe that's where the optimism resides, in being able to look at something, maybe a person that you don't have much sympathy for, finding something funny in the situation, and also perhaps thinking, well, this is really how we do things. Should we really continue to do it this way? Why not ask the question, not does this party or that party cause trouble, but what does its presence in the legislature federally mean? What does that say about our legislature? Maybe that's a different kind of question, might spark a different kind of debate. Humble aims, I know.
Jeff Percy is the author of Verbatim, a novel, published by Enfield and Wisenti, available at fine bookstores.
For more on all of our CBC podcasts, head to cbc.ca/podcasting.